Will he tip the card?
I know I've said it before, but given the series of events that leads me into your studio today, Michael, I think there is something happening. There's something in the air.
We'll tip the card here.
I'll tip the card this weekend.
Mick Sharkey joins Racing Pulse to preview the big races in Friday Form Focus.
It's Friday Form Focus, the day before Zipping Classic Day at Sandown. Mick Sharkey is in the house. Sharkey, how did you get through Cup Week?
With a great deal of...
Actually, the voice is still an octave lower.
No, this is the voice now.
Is it?
This is my radio voice, yeah. You told me I had to have a radio voice.
You're putting on the deep voice.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Sean Cosgrove can't go on forever.
Well, I wonder if... what. If the listeners ever heard Nick Quinn's real voice, because you know he puts on a radio voice as well.
Ever
listen to this. How are you, Quinny?
You're not too bad. Thank you, Michael. How are you?
You see him out the back. Hey, g'day, mate. How you going? Like the real
Darren Gouchy.
Cheltenham Gouchy. Comes out in him, you know?
Trying to get to Beau Morris.
Bogan Edge just comes out.
Drive through Bowie every day. See Fellgate.
It's in our blood, mate. You can't deny it. You just got to embrace it.
Do you know the amount of money that Shark won over the carnival? Well, he could live in Brighton. Forget about Beau Morris.
If Surprise Baby won the Melbourne Cup, we were going to look at a joint apartment in Bowie together.
All three of us were on Surprise Baby. Have you had a look at the replay?
Once or twice.
I actually had a boat that I was going to buy. And I was going to name it the Surprise Baby, if it won. See, unfortunately, it didn't win.
You're the reason. You don't get that far ahead of yourself.
No, bugger that. What's the point? It's a long range bet. You got to dream. You got to get ahead of yourself.
Why do people play Tats Lotto? It's for the dream. It's for what would you do? What would you do if
it's
you won?
It's my turn. Actually, it's my turn to win Tats Lotto.
What would you do if you won? If you won the three or four?
If I won Tats Lotto,
yep.
I'd be the lucky bloke that won with 25 others, and you end up getting...
Do you know what? I'd cop that.
Yeah, I'd cop that too.
I'd cop that.
I suppose you're already in Bowie, so you've got nothing to aspire
to. We're going
to
get on to racing tomorrow, but did you see the bloke who won the $10 first four?
Yes.
And got $800,000.
Yeah.
I saw an article on him that said that his uncles, his aunties, his brother-in-law, sister-in-law... had all won Tats Lotto.
You're kidding me.
The luckiest family in the world.
So how do we get in on that, Rort? Do they know Marianne Van Dorsler or whoever's pulling the numbers out or something?
We're not good enough people for that. Hey, Quinny, is the market going nuts tomorrow or are they playing warily? Because everyone I've spoken to today says, it wasn't our plan at the start of the season, but we thought we'd just have one more throw at the stumps heading to Sandown.
And that was the point that Dino made tomorrow, where it can be a little bit challenging because you've probably got classy runners at the end of their campaign and the question is how much petrol left in the tank do they have against horses that maybe aren't quite as good, but this is their target race. So Southern France has been well backed in the Zipping, and I think that the thing I like personally about Southern France is this is his second run in Australia as well. When you look at the likes of some of the other runners at the top in the market, and they've had sort of 3, 4, 5 runs this campaign as well. So Southern France has been the best backed in the feature, and he would fall into the bracket of having plenty of petrol left in the tank, although I can't remember the last time I saw a horse so well backed after running 19th at his previous outing.
Melbourne Cup winners back, or Melbourne Cup runners backing up in the Zipping, do have a good record. Last one to win was 2016, Beautiful Romance. Prior to that, who shot
Beautiful
the barman?
Romance.
Au revoir. Last 2 years have been won by the Taj Mahal with Benny Mellum. Overall, Sharky, your thoughts on the day?
I think there are a few bets there we can take, but there are a few races, as you've alluded to, I think the winner might be a little trickier to find, but you know, confidence lost, everything lost, Michael.
All right, well,
I'll tip the card today.
Yeah, well, that's what we want. The first race could be one of those trickier ones because it is the Merson Cooper.
It's not tricky.
It's a full fat field in the Merson Cooper. Well, before you give us your morale, what's been the best backed?
The Friedman trained first starter Hansetic, who's been 950 into 370, holding about 85% of the early investment. Outside of the favourite, Celestial Soul has been popular at $7, the second best backed runner. But it's a first starter, hopefully, to bounce the ball with a win for punters.
Now, Celestial Soul smacked it by 5 lengths in the trial. Now, it's a trial, and they did nothing on Hansetic. But are you surprised, the $9 into 370?
Yes. It was a nice trial. You're right, he wasn't asked to do anything in that heat, whereas Celestial Soul was sort of let off the leash to a degree and he was able to clear out. They just held Hanseatic together and yeah, it was a nice effort. Jump outs have been good too. He's clearly got ability. Debutantes versus what I think is, on ability anyway, he hasn't got the racecraft just yet, but probably the most talented colt we've seen in the two-year-old racing in Victoria so far,
Tagaloa. Tagaloa, any money, $4.80?
No, it's been a little bit soft at this stage. Maybe went up too short, has been now out to $4.80, was as short as $4.20.
Is it because he's staying at 1,000? Would you rather seen him progress to 1,200?
Well, there's not really any 1,200.
No, that's right. But would
them,
that have been better?
Oh, yeah, probably would have been. I just think the horse got completely lost down the straight. I think that was more the issue rather than the distance. The turn of foot was there when Nash Wheeler asked him to quicken. It was almost immediate. He was just going sideways at the same time. That's the only issue. I think what we're trying to see here is, you know, if we can get an early two-year-old stakes win with this horse, it's going to really help his stud credentials later on. Whatever he does tomorrow, he's going to be a better horse on the other side of Christmas, and I think the Blue Diamond is an ideal race for him.
Have you got a diamond market up yet?
No.
There's a slipper market up, isn't there?
Yes.
That's all right. You have a look while you continue to tell us why.
No, I was right.
He was Googling something else.
Tagaloa. Well, I spoke to Trent Buston at Flemington.
Yes.
And he said, very good chance in the Maribyrnong plate, but whatever you do, back him next start. Because he was learning.
Yeah, he's still learning. I think going around a corner will help the horse. Even in his trials and jump outs, he did plenty wrong. There was one jump out he missed the start by 15 lengths. In another one, he was better, but his ears were up and down the whole time. And the Maui jump out before he won, he sort of asked to quicken and he sort of had a look around and then he kicked into gear and picked them up in a stride. So he is a work in progress, but he's a very talented work in progress. I couldn't have any other horse on top than him. I think the one that's sort of underestimated in the market is number 14, River Knight. Really nice filly, good pedigree, as most of these are from contract racing, and by a stallion called Knight of Thunder, who is one of the leading two-year-old sires in Europe this season. Mm. We haven't seen a lot of them in Australia yet. I think that'd probably be post-Christmas two-year-olds, but I liked her jump out at Flemington.
What price, Quinny? River Knight, number 14.
River Knight, well, currently a $19 chance and $6 the place.
All right. Mm. A bit of value for the shark in race one. So is Tagaloa, is this a bet? One of your best of the day?
No, not one of my best of the day because he's still learning. But if that price holds up around the $4.80, I'll have a tenner on him for an interest to get us going, Michael.
All right. That is race one at the Merson Cooper Stakes. Race number two. This is one of the most intriguing races of the day. It's not what you would call the most...
Heat of the Jericho Cup, is it? Oh, no, hang on.
That's a little bit
I
harsh.
Except two of them.
You've got a Melbourne, couple of Melbourne Cup runners in
good.
This race. 3,200 metre, the Sandown Cup. Give us a market, Quinny.
Sound a drifting favourite, 240 out to 280. The money has come for the next two in the market. Haki, a $3.70 chance, and Azuro's been the firmer, as much as $6 into 390. Wall of Fire, 6. Neufbosk, 11. Saunter Boy, 14. Etta James, 26. Bemboka Queen, the outsider, at $81. Has been specced in from 100 to 1. The favourite Sound went up way too short at $2.40, continuing to drift with Azuro the best backed.
Now, you've declared it is no hope, Sound.
$2.40.
Will you shave your head if it wins?
Poison odds. I'll shave my head if it starts under $3 and wins.
Shave your head?
Wow.
It'll start closer to $4.
If it starts under $3 and wins. So you've got a little price sort of...
Correct, because my tweet was a massive lay at $2.40.
So under $3 and wins, you will shave your head.
Yes.
Absolutely bald.
This could be the end of a great media career. Have you ever shaved your head before?
I have.
Because you've got... When you take away the bouffant, you've got quite a narrow sort of... Narrow,
yes.
Thin head.
I was told I looked like a romper stomper, which probably wasn't the most complimentary thing I've
heard. Punters, unite around Australia. First of all, we need this to start under $3.
Just truckload this horse.
$3 or under?
Yeah, $3 or under.
Okay, lovely. Lovely, because I think it just wins. What do you think, Shark?
I don't know about just wins. I don't think you could say that with confidence about anything in this race. There's not a great deal of speed. Etta James.
Matt Stewart's declared it.
Forward.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Matt Stewart's declared it. Wow. I don't know if that gives me confidence or takes away confidence.
Tomorrow morning, I'll try and get Matt Stewart to do something as well when we're on between 10 and 12. So that way, it can be a win-win for the punters of Australia.
this could be outstanding. This could be a great result. I've got him on top. not with heaps of confidence. I think Azuro, number four, is the danger. Assoun just didn't have any luck in the Caulfield or Melbourne Cups. He was knocked over at Caulfield, and then at Flemington, he just got too far back. He did make some decent ground. He's never really charging through the line. He's not up to Group 1 class. I think that's well and truly evident now after 12 months in Australia. But this is a race that's nowhere near Group 1 class, so he's have to be some hope.
If you're being honest, you put a pen through Nerf Bosque.
Well, yeah.
Probably Wall of Fire, although Dave Eustace did kick up for it this morning. Saunter Boy, I couldn't have.
No, not for
Etta James and Bemboka Queen.
Yeah, and probably Hacky as well.
Well, Hacky going to be ridden with cover if...
Why?
If permits.
You're taking away... The horse is a natural bowl-along horse. Why would you take that away from him? I think he needs soft ground too.
Mm. So you're down to only two hopes.
Yep.
And one of them's Quinnings.
Yep.
The head shaver.
The head shaver. Old nude nut Quinn.
Sound. Duck egg, duck egg, duck egg. Fourth, eighth, duck egg, seven, duck egg, duck egg. And that's the horse posted at $2.40.
Yeah, group one, group one, group one, group one, group one.
Well, you're just providing Mikey with so many sound bites for next week. You know, it is actually ridiculous. This is going
to
be seen.
Well, let's put it out to the punters there. SMS us and let us know. Do you think sound is immoral or the lay of the day? 0416 90 50 52.
Mick, how can we get a quid out of this? Can we raise some money or something?
Mick Quinn, here? If it starts $3 a runder and wins, sound, Nick Quinn will shave his head.
Shave his
totally
head.
Totally nude.
Number one all over.
All right.
Do you want to do some channels? Or a little picture.
He'll be looking like Jason Richardson by the end of it.
Oh. Richo should be so lucky.
Outstanding. All right. So you're with sound?
Now. Yeah, sound on top.
All right. Sound to beat a zero in what is an uninspiring Sandown
underwhelming.
Cup. All right.
Much.
Race number three, Twilight Glow Stakes. By this stage, Quinny may already have a nude nut, but what is the market doing?
Good support here for Keelong, including bets of 4,000 at 290. $4,000 at $3, now heads the market at $2.70 and holds about 80% of the investment. Sophia's Choice has been the other runner that's attracted some early money, a $6.50 chance on the third line of betting at that quote. If you're chasing a long shot, number one, Done By Me, 13 out to 16, but now some support at the 16, but punters are with the McAvoy runner here, and it could be a big day for the stable.
Yeah, they've got a really nice hand in. This is a more interesting race. How good is Geelong, and does...
Geelong?
She run a strong... Keelong.
Keelong? Keelong? Keelong?
Oh, I think it's Keelong, actually.
Ex-Seelong?
Yeah, I think it's Keelong.
Keelong.
Does she run a strong 14?
I think she will. That was only her first attempt at it, and I thought it wasn't as if she was weak in that race. She'd been less than half a length, and really, when she hit the front at about the 300, this thing's just going to keep going here, but the race... By that stage of the day, the race was setting up for horses sort of making ground, and she was very brave in defeat. They didn't lope along in front. They ran at an even sort of tempo. A couple of good ones ran on and got the job done. So this is an easier race than that, my read of it anyway.
How do you compare the desirable that she ran third in to Sophia's Choice, the Hilton, where she ran second to Banco?
I think the Hilton was probably a slightly weaker race.
Okay.
Sophia's Choice is a really nice filly. A lot of time for her. I love her toughness at the end of the races. She showed it again there. What I liked about her as well is that there was only sort of half a run there back inside horses when Duane Dunn asked her to take it, and she didn't hesitate. She put her head through, and then she put her shoulders through, and she put her bum through, and just kept forcing the run and got through and was really tough to the line. Just no match for Banquo. Keeps improving. Yeah, they're both winning chances. Keelong on top for me, though.
What about the X Factor from Sydney? Paula Ream from the Cummings stable. We know that Nick Point, he didn't perform to expectation at Flemington.
He didn't really have the opportunity to, the way that race was run, but I wouldn't be too critical of the Nick Point form.
I thought she was good at Kensington.
And the time was good. The horse that's way over the odds here is Zujaya, mm-hmm. or Zuji on, you know, Keelong and... Zuji, you know, I don't know how you say that.
But anyway. 21 and 6?
Yep. Well and truly overs. Sale win was really good. Bendigo win was good in good time. I know she only won by a long neck, but it was the way she won it. The time was good too on the day. I think she's got some upside. She gets a cheap run here from Barrier 2. Stephen Baster on. Yep, she'll run well. Overs at 21.
We'll try and get hold of Stevie Baster if we can find him because it's his last day riding.
Last week was his last day.
Last day at Flemington.
Oh, okay.
John Farnham-like farewell tour from Stevie
Baster. They're going to run out of champagne by the end of his farewell. They keep spraying it on him. We don't spray. You drink the champagne. You don't throw it on people. Throw Gatorade on him. Drink the champagne. That's my advice.
That wouldn't look as good.
You know what? I'd rather drink the champagne than bathe in it, but... Again,
well, that is
if surprise baby had
you were nearly
one,
doing
I probably
both, yeah.
Would have bathed in it.
No hope at odds.
No one's
for
having their breakfast now.
California Salto,
who
California Salto?
No,
really, I thought it ran all right. At Flemington last
fair at best.
All right, so Chelong is as a bet.
Ah, yes, I would back her and probably have a little something on Zouge too at the 21s.
What price is Chelong, by the way, again, Quinny?
$2.70.
Well, it's getting a bit tight now. Is it around the price that you'd be happy to bet?
Look, if she got any shorter, I'd be a little hesitant. But if that holds up, happy to play.
All right. Well, let's have a look at race number 4, which is the Sandown Stakes. What are we doing with our old mate, Widgie Turf? It's been a couple of hundred days since he's won. I thought he was home last start at the Valley. Are the punters with him?
The Widge.
A little bit soft. 220 out to 250. William Thomas has been the early mover. 480 into 4 on the second line of betting at that quote. Music Bay, a $6 chance. Then we've got Goldfield, 7. Manalo Blahnik's been specked at odds. 750 into 7. So the favourite, Widgie Turf, just a little bit soft, 220 out to 250. And good to see Tab Chief Media Officer Trent Langscale tuning in, saying the money that I'll save on haircuts I can give to him with all the cut and colour that won't be done. But he's got his eye on a new girl in the office, Trent, so good to see he's tuning in.
I don't know if we
should
be outing him like that. That's sort of, you're sabotaging.
I was going to ask for some advice for
him.
You've got to help him.
So you,
but I think that's one of those conversations you take off air. You don't give romantic advice.
Well, after
on,
Gareth
on
Hall
air.
Dropped how much money you won on air, I thought it was just open slather.
That wasn't great.
How'd that go down?
No, it didn't go down well. Luckily, I'm married to a hippie who doesn't listen to the radio. So.
Any words to Gareth off air about discussing exactly how much money you won should or shouldn't be discussed on radio?
I think there are other conversations we need to have with Gareth before that are probably more pressing to his personal well-being. But anyway.
Like what?
Again, we should probably not have that conversation on air.
Okay, I'm going to jump in here because I don't know where it's going.
I'm surprised you let it go that long. Wow. It's a Friday morning.
I was just sitting here.
I think you don't know really where I'm going with stuff at the best of times. So
I forgot we were on radio for a second and was just listening in.
You've got that gossipy streak in you.
Alexa.
Fascinated. Now, you would have been a new idea man back in the day.
You've just declared.
Miley Cyrus did what?
Our next guest.
Who?
John Farnham, because he's had more farewells than the great Johnny Farnham, but it's worth it because Stevie Baster's been one of the great jocks, and the smiling jockey joins me once again. How are you, Stevie?
Welcome to the comeback tour, boys.
Oh, dearie, mate. Have you decided to maybe just stretch it out one more week, have you? Or
you don't want to hear me sing, I promise you that. I was always finishing at Sandown. That's just obviously my last day at Flemington. So, this will be well and truly it.
Well, you've got such a good book of rides. You might end up the day with a few winners and think maybe this is a good, easy way to earn more money than what I'm going to in my next life.
I've been thinking that for the last 3 years. I do love my job at the moment, but time is up. So, looking forward to the next career.
Champagne. Steve, are we bathing in it or drinking it? What's your preference?
Drinking it's definitely my preference because it's no good in the eyes, I tell you. They tell me it normally doesn't sting if it was a better quality, but it definitely stung the eyes.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, no, he did a great job to soldier on with an interview. I tried to interview him while his eyes were burning. And then Mark Zara, who cheekily came around behind and sprayed, got me as well. So both of us were blind trying to do an interview on Ten's coverage last week. So anyway,
is there any truth that he owed you one, Michael?
He thought he owed me one, and he texted and said we're even now.
And why was that? What happened again?
What did you do to him?
It certainly wasn't from Cox Plate breakfast morning, was it? Or
no,
was it a week
Plate.
After?
Anyway, we'll leave that.
Hang on a second.
This is another scandal.
Wasn't
first
in Benny regards
O'Brien's
to
kids, now Mark Zahara just machine gunning everyone along the way.
Was it possibly in relation to you asking him about a ride that he picked up in the Derby?
Now there was a miscommunication. Oh. It sounds like Tom Waterhouse all over again. Anyway, let's move on and ask Steve about his rides. Is there any tinge of sadness tonight when you go to sleep last night before you hang up the saddle for good?
Yeah, maybe. I won't know till the day, but like I said, I've been planning it for a long time. And yeah, we'll be a little bit sad, but I'm well and truly prepared for it.
Now, Steve, you're going to sell real estate, and we know that those that sell real estate are probably living side by side with those that sell cars for a living. Of all the trainers that you've dealt with that might, how do I say, fabricate the truth, put a spin on thing, couldn't lie straight in bed. If you had to recruit one of these trainers to come and work with you in your next facet of life, which one would it be? Because you're not going to need to ride for them again. Which is the one that just could sell ice to Eskimos and you know 90% of what they're saying is not true, but geez, it sounds good.
Better not name anyone, but I promise you there's plenty of them that have got the gift of the gab. And I guess if I say sugar lips, that probably might get you close to the
point. Oh, there we go. Now, what, real estate, what happened? You, as Cosmo Kramer once famously said, you're something of an amateur photog. What happened? You didn't sort of contemplate going down that route?
Oh, well, I think the photography is my hobby, and, you know, I don't really want to make it work. And I think with this day and age with the iPhones, I think most people can take a good photo these days.
Well, just on that...
No disrespect to the photographers out there, because there's some brilliant photographers out there, but, yeah, it's my hobby.
Well, just on what the road Quinny was going down, because you are never going to ride for anyone again, who's given you the biggest spray in your career?
Oh, there's been a few. Danny O'Brien gave me a ripping one at Flemington one day.
Really? What was that on? Did you slaughter it?
Yeah, probably.
Well,
but I've had plenty over the years. I was apprenticed to Mark Riley, so I did get scared in the car on the way home on a number of occasions.
Yeah, back in the early days, that would have been the case as well. Well, mate, let's see if we can get you home on a winner, because you've got a couple of nice rides as well. And it's nice to see that Gay and Adrian have put you on one in the first, because you had such a great relationship with Gay, especially over the last few years of your career. Dubai Star.
Yeah. Obviously, Gay and Adrian have been really good to me, and she's a nice filly that I've trialled quite a few times, so I know her quite well. And she's got good speed and good ability, so fingers crossed she can show at race day.
Did she say, Gay, I'm going to set you up with a winner on your final day?
Yeah, we had one of them for Melbourne Cup Day, but the horse went chin to her and went to the paddock, so we missed out there.
Just what was its name, by the way?
Yeah, I can't remember.
Oh.
All right, race number three. Now, Sharky doesn't know how to pronounce this horse's name.
Zuji.
And good to see Danny O'Brien's giving you a ride here too. Gee's been impressive its last couple.
Yeah. Danny's been good to me over the years as well. I had a lot of luck early doors with Danny when he was first starting out. And it's good to have a ride for him. And I rode this filly her first start down the Flemington Straight, and she ran super, only got beaten a length. It was a little bit unlucky, so... She's come back in and had two good wins up the bush, and now coming back to town. So wrapped me on her from a good draw.
That's the key for her, I think, Steve, is that inside gate. She just won't do any work at all. And we've seen in the two runs this time around that she's got that little punchy turn of foot at the end of it, and she can sustain it.
Yeah, she's tough. I think she's really tough. So, like you said, from the good gate, we shouldn't do any work at all. And have a lovely run at Hillside and peel her out, and hopefully she's hard to beat.
And it'll be great for you to ride a winner on your final day with your final ride for your great mate Logan McGill on Goldfields, who's been absolutely flying this time in.
Yeah, Logan's has done a great job with him, and Logan's obviously was apprenticed to Mark Riley as well. So, yeah, it'll be a great way to go out if he could win.
You're confident? Who's your best?
Oh, my best would... Well, we'll go with Goldfields. He's my last ride ever.
He's your last ride ever. And well, that's race.
So look out, boys. Don't get him away.
Well, that's race four.
That's right.
From race five.
You're just going to knock him down?
You're allowed to have a bet in race five? When are you allowed to have a flutter yourself? Because we know jockeys don't bet.
Wait,
but that's one thing you can do now.
Stewards report after race four. Stewards report. Stephen Bastow was suspended for a total of 482 media meetings for knocking half the field over.
I'd prefer to go at a good note and not have that headline. But, that'll be my last ride, guys. Last ride ever.
And you don't have to worry about your weight, but will you go out and grab a beer and a pie and come back into the jockey's room and just say goodbye to the boys?
I do that anyway, guys. That's why I've lasted 28 years. I don't waste as hard as 90% of the guys and girls out there. So I've been blessed to be able to stay in a job that I love and not have to do that they do, because it's... If I had to do that, there's no way known I would have been in it this long.
And on your way out, what's your best memory, your best result, do you think, in your career?
Oh, look, I think any Group 1 win is huge, but obviously Pinot was my last one, and it was in one of the majors in the Oaks, so that's probably the highlight, but I'm getting pretty old now, so that's probably the last one I can remember as well, you know.
Well, Nick Quinn is in the market for a new house down Bayside Way as well, so...
He's got plenty.
We might get you on. You can do your salesman pitch as well. And we don't want you lost as well. We're going to maybe keep in contact on RSN 927 as long as you don't charge
different
as much as you normally do. Stevie, good luck, mate. Final day in the saddle. You've been a great jockey and enjoy tomorrow.
Thanks, guys. I'll see you around. Thank you.
Stevie Basta, his final day. I remember his very first Group 1 win on Mukta in the Oakley Plate. 1993, I think it might have been.
That was... there was
or 92.
So that was for
Isn't
Mark
she
Riley.
Gorgeous?
I think Mark Riley was the only person to ride an Oakley Plate winner and train one, I think, with Mukta.
Mistress Anne?
Yeah, I reckon it was. And then he trained Mukta. And that was the horse that got... Darren Dance going, because Darren Dance was a major owner of that horse.
Really?
Yeah.
Won the Lightning
so
Mukta, as well.
So Mukta really set his future in racing off and going, so it was an important win for a lot of people.
Absolutely. All right. I forgot we were up to now. Race number four, I think it is it?
Doesn't matter. I've tipped the card anyway.
Race number four with Widgie Turf and William Thomas. We did that one, didn't we?
What did you have on top in race four? I don't think we did do it.
I read the market.
Gee, we're loose today. I don't think we did do it. Widgie...
I'll read it again because they're easy names to pronounce.
Okay, go for it.
Widgie Turf, a drifting favourite, 220 to 250. William Thomas, the market mover, 480 into 4.
All right, we'll do race 4, then we'll take a break and come back with the quaddie. So, Widgie Turf from Barrier 4. Are you with the Widgie?
Look, I can't split him and William Thomas. I think William Thomas was really, really brave at Flemington, first time at 1,400 metres. He gave Bravo Tango 4 kilos. Mm. Bravo Tango's a pretty good horse, so that's a lot of weight to be giving away to a horse of that quality. And he went back to the inside on his own, arguably in the worst ground, and just kept toughing it out to the line. I think he's a real chance to beat Widgie tomorrow.
Up to the 15?
I don't think it's an issue. He's down on the minimum weight. It's... not an overly deep race. A few of these have been up knocking around for a while. And he gets that inside gate. So he just gets such a cheap run. If he can get out, that is the query, because Widgie will be back coming around them, you'd assume, without any traffic. At some point, Dean Yendall's going to have to negotiate a path with William Thomas. As long as he can get a little head start on Widgie Turf, I think he's a chance to beat him, but it's very hard to split them.
How is Manolo Blahnik
going? He's the knockout. Mm. For mine, he was ridden too close at Flemington in that Group 3. I think this horse has shown in the past he's at his very best when he's allowed to just relax back in the second half of the field and then come with one closing run. You think of his best Caulfield runs, even earlier this prep behind Roxa Castle, but last summer when he was going so well, he was dropping out, really hitting the line. I think that's the way to ride the horse. I'd be surprised if they didn't take up those sort of tactics tomorrow.
And Goldfields, do you give it a chance? It's got the Mandela effect form.
He's also got very, very consistent form. All this prep from his first up run behind Romance, or it wasn't really first up, he'd sort of plugged away through the winter, but this season, he's never been out of the first three, and it's been in decent sort of company. He beat Dr. Drill, he went and had winning form after that. Second to Romance, so there was winning form out of that race. I think Universe might have gone and won since then. reserve street form, solid. Yeah, he's in the game.
All right, so you keen to bet?
Nah, I'll probably just watch that one.
All right, so William Thomas at a bit of value over Widgie Turf in race number 4. All right, we're going to take a break, try and straighten ourselves up. It is Friday Form Focus, one of the loosest editions you'll ever hear. When we come back, it'll be the Dubden Stakes.
Inside the weekend's biggest races, RSN 927's Racing Pulse and Friday Form Focus.
Welcome back to Friday Form Focus. Yes, SS, the SMS machine has lit up here.
You've lost it today.
What a nerve, Nick Quinn bagging real estate agents and car salesmen when he offers prices for the Cups and early markets with a margin of 300% plus. That's
Nicholas.
From Matt in Vermont.
I will pay that, Matt. And what I like about Matt is he's obviously a real estate agent or a car salesman, and I need a new car and a new house with very little money. So I'll give Matt 3 votes for that one.
All right, let
some
us
other
know,
texts
Matt.
Coming through as well. Yes. And the anti-sound is very strong. Mm. The Buffon looks safe.
Well, there's another one here. Go, Quinny. Lay of the day. Won't run 3,200 metres. Rod from Strathmore.
Sorry? Who won't run 3,200 metres?
Sound.
Rod, he's already a winner at 3,200 metres, I'm pretty sure.
Is he? Well, double check.
Yeah,
that.
He is.
And then there's another one here having a little bit of a dig at you about your good mate. Trent Langscale. So
feel free to read it out, Michael.
Quinny, hang on. The bro code here. The bro code, it's just yes. Wrong. Leave a slugger to his own devices.
I'm trying to help him here. He's got two of the sharpest operators I've ever met in Falgate and Sharkey sitting around here.
Yeah, there was no name on that, so that may well be slugger.
No advice for Trent?
In regards to inter-office affairs allowed at Tabcorp?
I think so.
Are they?
How'd you get Jackie? That's one of our great questions we have frequently asked off air.
I've got a book for
alcohol.
Him, so. Alcohol.
All right, let's get on to race number 5, which is the Dubden Stakes. Easy Eddie is the favourite here, isn't he?
Sanders won 1 of 4 over the 3,200 as well. So it's safe to say he doesn't have a great record over the 3,200. Easy Eddie is a popular favourite in race number 5. $5 into 4.20. Viridine's gone the other way. 4.20 out to 4.60. Crystal Dream at 5.50. Fartnar 6. Thermal Current 8. All over Bossa Nova. Best the rest at 11. But your best backed runner is the 3, Easy Eddie.
Well, if you're just looking at form and the races he's competed in and those against, he's been beaten 0.8 of a length first up. And then in the Sydney Stakes, 2.3 lengths behind Deprive and then 2.8 lengths behind Pierrata and Co. in the Red Zell. It reads pretty well, doesn't it, Sharky?
Yeah, it's nice form. Doesn't necessarily mean he's going to win. There's a lot of speed in this race, I think. Fartnar, Easy Eddie, what's that one down towards the bottom? Yulong, Yuheng, all over Bossa Nova, all go forward. I think Crystal Dreamer gets a lovely, lovely drop on these. And had it not have slightly missed the start at Caulfield in the Caulfield sprint, I think it would have been in the finish. Never really had a chance to get clear and hit its top gear over that last 200 metres. It was sort of half hemmed in on the outside and it was running onto heels of one in front of it. So before that, its win in the Heath was very good. Beat a couple of nice horses there, Gitra and Ball of Muscle. I think Crystal Dreamer is very well placed.
Two at Sandown.
Mm.
Flies at the distance as well.
And the danger is the stablemate, Thermal Current.
How old's Thermal Current these days?
104.
He's a nine-year-old. Wasn't disgraced last start, was he?
No, and he was unlucky there. He bombed the start. He missed it by about 3 or 4 lengths. And then he was always sort of in an awkward spot with the weight. James McDonald did get him going, and he was really warming up and starting to go through the gears. And then he hit heels. He had to check off the heels, peel to, two horses' backs towards that outside fence, and he was just getting going again that last 100 and through the line. It was a really good run. He's another one that I think is probably well handicapped on his best form, although he's a 9-year-old. He tends to bob up to listed level in the off-season most of the time in his life. So, yeah, he's there.
Have you given up on Viridine?
Viridine, the issue with Viridine is he is sort of two of him. There's one that's very good, like we saw in the Scalacci, charged home and ran really, really well. And then he had that little internal bleed in that Linlithgow and the Moyer Stakes first up. He was too far back and did some late work and sort of half got you excited about him. He hasn't won in a little while. That's my query with Viridine.
Anything at odds being specced in this race, Quinny, or not?
Of the runners at longer odds, the best backed runner is the 5 Ashlaw, who's always popular, currently a $13 chance in from 15.
Give it any chance?
No, oh, not particularly.
Rightio. Doesn't sound like we're over-enthused with confidence about the Dubton Stakes, which is another tricky affair.
No, I would have something on Crystal Dreamer and Thermal Current. I'll have a little bet on both of those. I think they're a little bit of value there.
$5.50 and $8 respectively. Race number 6 is the Kevin Heffernan. This is the last leg of the early quaddie, Group 3, over 1,300 metres. And this is one of the interesting runners of the day from the Charlie Appleby stable, Dubai.
Yeah, and Dubai and Home of the Brave, the Godolphin runners, account for about 80% of the investment between them. Dubai, a 270 favourite. Home of the Brave, who was scratched from a race in Sydney in preference for this, has been 360 into 320. Haydock, 750. Ring-a-ding-ding, the third best backed runner in the race, $11 into 9. Then we have Teleplay, 9. Order of Command, 950. And Odeon, good push from Simon Zara last week, currently a $15 chance.
This is another one of the, it's almost typical of the day. Question marks surrounding so many horses. Haydock first up for 14 months. Lavendi first up for almost 2 years. Odeon's first up, maybe better over distance. Ring-a-ding-ding first up, better over further. Gennady up in class, Teleplay up in class. It's one of those races where it just looks to be, should be dominated by Home of the Brave and Dubai, shouldn't
yes,
it?
Yes, Godolphin will win this race. It's just a matter of which one you want to back. I've had some knockers on Home of the Brave. I don't know why. Look at the races he's been running in. He's run Brutal to less than half a length. Classic Legend was behind him. He led up Deprive and they ran really quick time that day. Champagne Cuddles was right there as well. The Red Zell run over this trip, Pierrato got, well, they ran to him, I get that. But if you watch him through the line, the horse that goes to him first nearly draws level and puts his head in front. At the post, he's a length in front again. It's all about rating him in front and getting him comfortable, getting him cruising along so when he's let go, he can find and put some horses to the sword and take them out of their comfort zone a little bit from the front. I think he gets that opportunity in this class with horses coming back from 1 and 2 years off and others first up. And look, Ring-a-ding-ding's a talented horse, but his jump outs, they've just been okay. He's just got a massive class edge here and he's race fit, hard and fit, Home of the Brave. I think he's on top. Dubai, we saw him when he was well-backed in the all-aged earlier this year, but he hadn't travelled all that well. He just had a little sort of a tough run there. He wasn't hopeless. He wasn't awful, but it just wasn't great. It wasn't an inspiring effort, but his form prior to that around Lamato and Mutashri is very good for a race like this. If he's in any sort of form, he's the danger. I'm happy to roll with those two. I think the market's letting us back them both. You can stake accordingly. And, you know, if I'm wrong, if Lavendi comes back from 2 years off and beats me, or similar with Hey Doc, good luck to them. I'll cop it on the chin and soldier on.
Yeah, I'm with you. 280 Dubai and 330 Home of the Brave.
Bundle bet time.
What is,
do you still have bundle the bundle bet?
$1.53.
Was there someone who lost $60,000 on a bundle bet last week?
Yes.
Oh my God.
$60,000 at a dollar. Maybe $1.08.
Gee whiz. All right.
Who's the favourite in the clash of the footy or whatever it is? What's it called tonight? The code clash?
Yeah, the boxing.
Barry Hall.
Code Wars.
No, Barry Hall's the outsider.
Barry Hall's the outsider. Did
Gallon's $1.56. Barry Hall, $2.45.
He is in rude shape, Barry Hall.
Yeah. And he looks half a foot tall.
Well, he's got the reach. He's got the reach.
Boxing's one sport you really want to follow the market movers, though.
Really?
What do you think? There might be some...
No, I'm just saying, if you followed the market movers in boxing, I think you'd be going okay.
Gallon's been beating up John Hoppawattie.
I don't know. It's not my sweet spot. I'm not going to comment. I don't know.
Right. Okay.
We don't want to upset either of them.
You're a pugilist, aren't you?
Am I?
You like to do a bit of boxing.
Been hit a few times.
Not surprisingly. Race number 7, Sandown Guineas. The girls are dominating the market here, aren't they?
They are. They have both been well backed, especially the 10 Pretty Brazen, who was as much as $6 when Final Field was announced and now a 3.30 market leader. A fair to remember, a 3.50 second elect, Manquo at 4.40, Heart of Passance 4.80, then a bit of a gap. Conqueror has been 7.50 out to 9.50, Defend 14, Call Me Seamus 26, the last start winner, but Pretty Brazen has been well back to take out the feature.
Haven't had a filly win.
A feature.
the Sandown Guineas since 2008, I think it was.
Dextrous, was that? No, that she might have been earlier.
Oh, no, even further, was it? The last filly to win it was Kayambi in 2005.
Oh, really?
Dextrous was 2002.
Was she 2002?
Moondragon 2001.
Boy, oh boy.
And then we're back to Blixen in 88, Shankulesse 85. So
I was on,
they haven't got a great record, the fillies.
I was 19 in 2002.
Wow. I was still in school.
Were you?
Yep.
Ridden by D. Gouchy.
Had my life ahead of me.
Now look at you.
I know.
Sitting here talking to me on a Friday morning.
Having a midlife crisis.
And you know what? You should have stayed in school a bit longer. I'm really looking forward to the Sandown Guineas because I think there's a potential star in this race.
Oh.
I don't know whether it's ready to win, though.
Oh.
Heart of Puissance.
Mm.
Oh, you're
really?
not
potential
happy.
Star?
I think he's a galloper of a lot of talent. He reminds me a little bit of a young Palantino or something like that.
Gee. Yeah, he's the same colour. And he's a horse.
He's a bit wayward.
He's very wayward. Don't worry about that.
And he makes good ground. He runs on.
What was going on there at Moonee Valley? He sort of came around that corner with all his momentum was on that outside leg. And then he just kept going towards it. It wouldn't shock me if he won. He's too green for me to back with any confidence in this race. That was the 64. He's up to let's be honest. It's more like a listed race rather than a genuine Group 2 and on the score of class. But, yeah, I need to see him do everything right before I put my hard earned on him. I think the fillies are well and truly the benchmark here. Pretty Brazen just got too far back at Flemington. And then she was trying to get to the outside of a horse and got sort of... The run was taken and she got forced back a length further than she wanted to be. That cost her in the end. She was beaten just under a length. All her times were excellent, as you'd expect, when they charge home from the back of the field. But this girl is at her best, as we saw at Bendigo and also at Caulfield, when she can track into a race, get a bit of a lead, get something to tag up on, and then at the 300, just get some clear room and away you go. She gets that opportunity, I believe, from Barrier 6 tomorrow, and she'll be very hard to beat. But I think a fair to remember, when things go wrong in a preparation, as they did with this girl in the Maloney, and then she had that slight setback, and Dan O'Sullivan had to sort of ease up on her and look for another target. Luckily, it was only a minor issue. So, okay, you forego the 1,000 guineas, but you've got a pretty handy Group 2 mile prize, you know, 5 weeks later, and I think he's done a really good job to get this filly back up in very good form.
She was stiff at Flemington.
She was, and that was against the older mares. Look, I know she's back 100 metres. I know that was only a 70, but still, to perform against the older horses is no mean feat. Nudge won that race. There was decent form around Nudge prior to that from Moonee Valley. I think she's the horse to beat. Hopefully they can run on. If they can, my money will be on her.
What do you make of Defend, who was awesome, winning by 10 lengths last start?
Beat nothing.
Okay. No good.
No, not no good. It's just you're a maiden up to a stakes race. Yeah, you won by 10. I wasn't blown away by the time. Oasis Girl, well and truly, had its measure before that. No, not for me.
Conqueror's got the best form lines in the race, coming through the Caulfield Guineas and the Carbine Club.
The problem with Conqueror, though, is that he doesn't win.
Mm.
He likes running sort of second, thirds, fourths, and because of his racing pattern, he's pretty genuine from the gates. He lobs into that first four, first five on settling in most of his runs. He travels well into his races, and when he's let down, he's just that sort of one pace. There's no real punch there at the end of it. It's not like a Barry Hall in sort of round three when you're just trying to take things up a notch and land one on the mush. He just keeps plodding along.
And Banquo, we're going to see the form line through Sophia's Choice a little earlier in the card. Do you think he levels up?
Well, he surprised me to a degree at Flemington. I thought, looking at the run, at the win at Sale, and there's been Nerone came out and won earlier in the week from that race. I thought, yeah, you've got some potential and maybe you'll be more of an autumn horse. He sort of went that next level up to stakes grade a little quicker than I thought he might. He's still progressing. We're not quite sure how good he may be.
So how many in the quad?
Just the four. 1, 4, 10, and 11.
1, 4, 10, and 11. Banquo, you're putting Heart of Puissance in.
Yeah, 10. I couldn't back him straight out, Heart of Puissance, but I'll concede that he goes in the quaddie.
Okay, all right. So that's the first leg of the quaddie, 1, 4, 10, and 11. But you will be backing A Fair to Remember.
Yes.
Race number 8 is the feature of the day, the Zipping Classic over 2,400 metres. What's the market doing, Quinny?
Southern France has been the best backed runner and now a $3.60 favourite. Humidor, $3.80. Ventura Storm, $8. Gallic Chieftain, $8. Dull Harold's been a firmer, $15 into $10. Miss Siska, $21 into $10. Shepada at $11. Savvy Oak, $11. Southern France, the market mover, Mr. Sharkey. Any concern wasn't in the initial nominations?
A huge concern that he won't run a sharp 2,400. He's been a 2,800 metre horse plus throughout his career in Europe. He's quite, like, he's a bit of a grinder. He's got that sort of one-paced edge about him. We didn't really get to see what he had in the Melbourne Cup because he sat so wide and the speed was against him. He's not a sit-sprint horse, so he was effectively rendered hopeless there. He's a better horse than we saw. But I don't think this is a gimme by any degree. He goes in the quaddie, but he's unders.
There's a few in this race that haven't seen the winning post for a while.
There are only a few here that have been set for this race. So Dale Harold is one of them, and Shepard is the other.
Went really close last start, Dale Harold. Mike Maroney's been saying that he's been a little bit disappointed with how Chapada has been going this time in. Mm. So where do you slot in a Humidor who has been bouncing up and down in distance?
Yeah, and the blinkers go back on. On his Moonee Valley run, he's in the game. You could say the same about Ventura Storm. Gee, got his head in a weird spot.
Wasn't he? I don't know whether he was trying to bite something.
Tickled on the flank or, yeah, whether he was, I don't know. He just got that head in an odd spot there in the Queen Elizabeth. I thought there was a horse that was well over the odds and was forgivable in defeat last week in the Queen Elizabeth, and that's Midterm. Kyneton Cup, look, ideally you'd have a little bit more give in the ground for him, but I think in a race where there's not a great deal of speed, like Midterm will go forward, the other on-speed horse is Miss Siska, and then you're kind of looking at him thinking, well, who's going to jump out of their pattern and settle forward, and most of these like to get in the second half of the field and work to the line. The Kyneton Cup win was really tough. Then he went to the Queen Elizabeth, he sat outside the leader, gave a little kick to the 400. He was still there, whacking away at the 200, the 250. They got to him, but they didn't really charge away from him. He was backing up in 3 days, and that might have been just a little too much for him. I give him an each-way chance at 20-1, and it's that sort of very even race. Why not have a little throw at the stumps at him?
Well, he is the extreme outsider in the field at $21.
Mm.
Is it a fat leg of the quaddy?
It sure is. 1, 2, 5, 6, 7, and 8.
Humidor, Ventura Storm, Southern France, Dal Harold, 7 Midterm, and then 8 Chapada. All right, that is the Zipping Classic. Quinny, Summon Stakes is the third leg of the quaddy. Interesting to see what price you got Vanuatu and Fidalia. Vanuatu, gee, Graham Big gave it a big push this morning.
He certainly did, and Vanuatu a $6 chance on the third line of betting at that quote. Fidelia heads the market at $4.60. Sweet Scandal a $5.50 second elect. The early firmer has been the 5 Platinum Angel, who's been $8.50 into $6.50. There's also been a little bit of support for One More Try, who's been $11 into $9.50. Fascinating betting race, most of the runners attracting varying degrees of support.
All right, Fidelia, or punters have had their fingers burnt with her this time in. Sandown should suit. The race looks like it suits. Has she forgotten how to win, or has she just been unlucky?
Look, she was unlucky early in the prep when she was really flying. I remember listening to Robbie Griffiths and saying that the Let's Elope was a real target race for them. That was four runs ago. She hasn't been bad since. The Blazer run, again, a bit stiff. Caulfield, I think she had every chance. Tempo was probably not helpful there. And the Empire Rose, look, she was just there, sort of plugging past a few. I'd be inclined to risk her. It's an even race, so look, you could throw her in the quarter if you wanted to, but not a horse I want to be backing in this race. We've got Platinum Angel going around. Blinkers go on for the first time. We had Ollie booked, and we had to change that. We had Ben Allen booked. He's got a wedding. We had to change that. So we're into Dean Yendall now, who's a very good rider.
That doesn't say much for Dino. Bloody two strikes.
Well, not really. Dean's been doing some work with this mare, and he's sort of getting his head around her a bit because she does have a couple of quirks. The track was just too firm for her.
She loomed last start, and then she was flat the last 100.
Well, she wasn't flat. She just didn't let go. Right. And Ollie said, coming in, I don't think this ground's going to suit her. It's riding like a 3 rather than a 4. And after the race, that's what he said. I thought I was going to win by as far as you wanted. And then asked her to go, and she just didn't want to go on that firmish track. Sandown, can have a little bit more given it, can't it? But I don't think we're going to get absolute perfect ground for Platinum Angel. The blinkers will go on. Don't be surprised if she sits a little closer. I thought, again, at odds in an even race, one more try with the blinkers going back on. They have worked for her before. She was, but she went back inside horses, and that was looked like the slower lanes at that part of the day on Cup Day. She was progressing really well before that. The run to Fabric was good. The run to Spanish Reef was good. Again, not a heap of luck in that race or in the A ground. I'm inclined to give her another chance from a good gate with a bloke called Craig Williams on her back. He's been going okay.
He's been going all right.
Yeah.
Sweet Scandal should get the sweet run again.
Yes, should do. Is a chance, as is Noir. If it produced anything like its best form, Noir would be in the game. It's an open race. Vanuatu, heard you talking to Graham Begg earlier on. The run at Moonee Valley was very good. Yeah, it's a really open race, this one.
Tricky, tricky race again. Mm. How many in the quaddie?
This is the other fat leg. 1, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 11.
1, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 11.
Mm-hmm.
So that's Noir, Sweet Scandal, Fidelia, Platinum Angel, Kingsbrook. I'm putting Kingsbrook in.
Yeah. Covered ground, loomed up, second up. Just needed the run, I thought, there.
7 is one more try, and the 11, Vanuatu.
Mm.
All right, that is race number 9. I've got the feeling there's a one-outer coming in the last leg of the quaddy. What price is the favourite?
250 into 215, the best-backed runner at Sandown. Pacadali now a 480 second. Elect Plenciel, 750. Mr. Moneybags, 8. Savahit, 950. Support at longer odds for the 12. Zoe's Comet, who's been 61 into as short as 26, back out to 31. But the market mover, number 4, setting sail.
All right, give us your international analysis on setting sail. How good is this international?
I probably don't know yet. He's only had the 9 starts. He's won nearly half of them. His form ties in really well with some nice horses to sort of group 3 standard, potentially a little bit better. His form in Europe this season's been good. I know he won a 3-horse race last time around, but that form line through Cross Baton ties in pretty well with some good horses, Hunting Horn and the like, and a horse called Zaki, who's had a good season. Look, if he's anywhere near his best, he'll win.
Hmm.
It's just a matter of whether you want to take him one out in the quaddie or if you want to take the 2 best local chances as insurance with him. And I think they are 1, Pacadali, who he's running that Kyneton Cup. We referenced midterm earlier. This horse had 62 kilos, was massive. And the other one is Dan and Roman. First time blinkers really got that horse going when he won first up at Mornington.
All right, so 3 we're coming home with in the quaddie.
Well, you could have 2 quaddies, one with setting sail, 1 out, and 1 with 1, 4, and 8.
All right, so they are the 3 to come home in the last leg. Now, before we get your best, for those of you who just joined us, this is what we are cheering for at Sandown tomorrow.
I'll shave my head if it starts under $3 and wins.
Shave your head?
Wow.
It'll start closer to $4.
If it starts under $3 and wins. So you've got a little price sort of...
Correct. Because my tweet was a massive lay at $2.40.
So under $3 and wins, you will shave your head?
Yes.
All right. That is sound. Race 2, number 1 in the Sandown Cup. We want everyone to have their $10 on it to get it under $3 and then kick it home. And we will shave Quinny's head live on radio.
You are already regretting that, aren't you?
Not at all. I was just regretting how bad my radio voice sounds. I need to work on that.
Sharky, give us your best. How do we make a dollar at Sandown tomorrow?
I'll be backing Team Godolphin in race 6, the Heffernan, with Home of the Brave in Dubai. I'll be backing the Phillies, Pretty Brazen and Affair to Remember to win the Sandown Guineas, and I'll be backing Setting Sail.
All right. Quinny, we know your lay of the day. What's your best of the day?
I think Setting Sail will win the last tomorrow, and I think More Sundays will win the last at the Valley tonight. There's been one bet of 10,000 as well, so hopefully the daughter of More Joyous can do the right thing by punters in the lucky last at the Valley. That's race 8, number 10.
Well, speaking of the Valley, up next, Ray Huxley will preview the Valley tonight. And Guesty, he'll love you shaving your head, will be previewing Kyneton today as well. Good on you, gents. Good luck tomorrow at Sandown.
Good fun. Thank you, Michael.
All right. That is the Friday Form Focus with Sharky and Quinny. After the news, we'll look at today's meetings.